Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
And welcome to Gun for Hire Radio, the listen to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation for almost 5 years running now. We just started our fifth season.
Wow.
Anthony, happy fifth season to you.
F you.
We're joined by a listener today, Scott. We're going to just call him Scott C, okay?
He doesn't go by Scott. He goes by
whatever we want to call him.
Usually it's John, Scott, John, Tom.
John, Scott, Tom,
we're
whatever
call
we want to call
Scott
him.
Today.
We'll call him Scott today. Today's name is
Scotty.
Scott.
Welcome.
He's got a number of aliases.
We're going to talk to him in a minute, but first, my condolences to the 12 dead in a terrorist attack on a Paris newspaper, and 4 more hostages were killed today.
Which was breaking while
the two shitbags were killed too. By the way,
yeah, that's which is good. That's too bad. Yeah.
And the rest of the hostages that they had were freed, but another 4 died. And this is forming a huge backlash for this Islamic fundamentalist movement in Europe,
but
everywhere. But you know, we're used to it here because we have the great appeaser as the president.
And, yes, sir.
I wonder, if this happened in the United States, he would say it was workplace violence.
Well, did you notice how long it took for the White House spokesman to actually acknowledge the fact that this was any kind of a terror? If, in fact, it was, they said, some sort of a violent incident in Paris.
Now, this is a satirical newspaper, by the way. What they did was
like our Mad Magazine.
They drew a picture of Muhammad, which you're not supposed to have any likeness of Muhammad.
And they drew some pretty graphic stuff.
It's interesting because the main cartoonist that drew it, he was assigned a French police bodyguard who was unarmed.
Yes. It's kind of interesting, too.
What's the purpose?
What's the purpose?
Yeah, what's the purpose?
Scott says, what's the purpose?
This is very important. Yeah. What are the laws in France about firearms? Is it the same in Britain? Are they completely banned?
Almost the same as Britain, completely banned. Only the military and SWAT teams.
Oh, and terrorists. You forgot
the terrorists. All the police that responded to the scene at first were unarmed.
Great.
And then they have to wait for the higher level and the undercovers and stuff to come with
flip
guns.
So Paris with New York City, and this is what you have.
Same thing.
And we're waiting for this to happen in New York City.
Of course.
You know, with the mayor here now who went to go visit Joanne Chesimard.
Did he go?
He went to go to interview her, visit her when she was in Cuba. And now you've got the entire... apparently, there was something that came out from an editorial in the New York Times that says that Bratton should go because that shit like that's usually issued by the mayor's office.
And the mayor refused to apologize to the police, by the way.
Oh, well, of course. He doesn't like the police.
But we'll see who protects them should the poop hit the fan. But so you see what happened in France. These guys had AK-47s. One of the brothers went to Yemen and trained and came back.
Yep.
And this was all planned and plotted. They grabbed a female cartoonist and her 5-year-old son, and they used her to open the doors to get through security. So they've been casing the joint for the longest time.
Right.
She ran with her son and hid under a desk. She was not on their hit list.
Killed?
No. They killed the people that they intended to kill that were directly related.
They called them out by name, right?
Yes.
And then executed them.
Correct. And they had it all. This was, Scott, this was well planned. And
they got them all in a conference room, didn't they?
All
the time? Yeah,
almost every one of them was in a conference room having a meeting. They kind of knew what was going on. Like, they'd been watching this place for a while or it was just luck. But they were cool, calm, and collected. And then the third one, I think he's a brother also, he was driving a getaway car. He turned himself in.
Well, you know, the interesting part about it is these people have had a number of run-ins with the law. The brothers were in an orphanage, but they have a long history of interactions, let's call it, with the police department. Basically, what you're seeing around the world right now, and I hate this phrase, lone wolf. It's a lone wolf. How many lone wolves does it take to
They're
make a pack?
They're not lone wolf, though. A lone wolf is a guy who wakes up tomorrow morning and goes, I hate the post office, and he goes in and he starts shooting the post office.
Right, for no
These
reason.
These are not lone wolves. These are terror cells.
Yes, exactly.
I thought Al-Qaeda took responsibility for this. No.
I think they said that it was. I think the terrorists themselves lent credence to Al Qaeda.
Yeah, but they were basically. Listen, he trained in Yemen. Yes. They're a terrorist cell.
These are
that
lost
was trained
thugs.
And activated.
Right.
And they hit right. this. This is not me or Scott getting up in the morning going, yeah. I'm tired of waiting in line at AMP. I'm going to go smash all the carriages with my car.
Yeah, exactly right. Mm. Exactly right.
And now we see all of this outrage.
Yeah.
You know, there are people writing, are holding up signs, we're not afraid. They're trying to tell the Islamic fundamentalists now that we're not going to take this shit. But, you know, Europe was the first, you know, especially France has a huge Muslim population.
Yeah, it's about 7%.
Yeah, and they pretty much let them do anything. They let them run
they
Sharia
have these,
and everything.
They have these no-go zones where you they have to keep out, where everybody keeps out. And the interesting part about it, how they're setting it up is, it's all in the suburbs around the city. So they're literally blocking out the city mm-hmm. by setting up these no-go zones. And the cops can't go into their neighborhood. Most everybody stays out, and they literally run those communities.
And the French government allows this?
Oh, yeah, for the longest time.
Yeah, for the longest time.
The French
time.
Were probably the first government to allow so much tolerance for a different religion. And it's had huge backlashes, and now everybody's waiting to see how the French president is going to handle this because the people are pissed.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's this huge movement coming from the ultra-right, which in Europe, the ultra-right is fascism, and it is Nazism. And
correct.
It's much, much different than our right. Our right here, we were talking just before we went on, the fact that what differs between Europe and here, the left in Europe is communist, the right is fascism. In the U.S. here, the left is still leaning toward big government, communism, socialism, and the right is small government, more towards almost anarchism, where you don't find that in Europe. So
no.
That multiculturalism is a big problem for them. I know in Italy there is a huge problem with illegal immigrants, and they're cracking down. But you're starting to see the Nazi Party take over in many places like Germany, Greece. There's a tremendous, Nazi sort of or hard right fraction in northern Italy. So this doesn't bode well. And what's interesting is, from what I hear, the Russians are pumping a tremendous amount of money into that right side to create this dissension and anti-Semitism and anti-Islam and anti-immigrant.
Yes. So, they're in for a big – we're going to watch. There's going to be a huge backlash. And, you know, unfortunately, who's going to pay for this is the majority of the peace-loving Muslims are going to pay dearly for this, for the small – well, they're going to have to clean up their people.
Yeah, exactly right. It's time to stand up and say that unless you go along with this, it's time to stand up and say, hey, look, enough is enough. This is bullshit. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world town's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
And this segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites.
Again.
Really?
No.
MontvilleOffice.com. We just found out that our Wi-Fi here is dial-up. Montville Executive Suites. The website is MontvilleOffice.com. There's a 70-person meeting room and 38 furnished private offices, telephone answering, mail receiving, forwarding, and the ability to hold seminars for events up to 70 people. Please visit MontvilleOffice.com. Their Facebook page is Montville Executive Suites. Ron Sousa is always gracious to lend his place out for any Pro 2A Second Amendment organization. So keep it in the family. I want to thank you all for that. The reason I have Scott Cost in the studio today is he's going to share a story about his wife's plight in the town of Parsippany. You don't care if I say that, right? Too late now anyway. All right, but before we
He doesn't want to drive in the town.
Scott Bach couldn't be in the studio. He has some personal stuff going on. But if you're a member of ANJRPC, you'll know that phase two of ANJRPC's strike force, the crackdown phase of its permitting program, has started. Okay? And
now, for those people who are new to listening,
I'm going to talk about stage one. Phase one launched last year. We did a sweep of the entire state to create a comprehensive database chronicling and detailing the specific permitting abuses occurring throughout New Jersey's 565 towns.
And there was a lot of them.
Yes. Hundreds of gun owners participated in phase one, providing us with evidence of their town's abuses. Our attorneys conducted their own independent statewide survey, and all the data has been crunched, organized, and analyzed. For the first time in history, we now have a full picture of where and what the problems are, and it isn't pretty. From absurdly long delays to blatantly unlawful application conditions to outrageous privacy violations, we have identified the worst offenders. So here's the crackdown phase. They're serving right now, this week, legal notices to 150 towns.
Wow.
Informing them of their law, of the law, their obligations, and their specific violations in no uncertain terms. We expect that many towns will comply voluntarily once the clear and indisputable law has been explained to them. But the towns that won't see the light are going to feel the heat, says Scott Bach. During phase two, ANJRPC's council will be working to achieve voluntary compliance in as many towns as possible, as rapidly as possible. For those permitting authorities that simply refuse to comply, ANJRPC will embark on phase three. This is the hammer phase, in which ANJRPC will deploy a number of most powerful tools at its disposal, including litigation to force compliance with the law. Permitting authorities need to understand that we have entered a new era after the groundbreaking Supreme Court Heller and McDonald cases, said Bach. It is unlawful to interfere with Second Amendment rights by abusing the permitting process, and ANJRPC will spare no effort or expense to stop further abuses. ANJRPC, their email is strikeforce@anjrpc.org. The website is anjrpc.org. Go on and make a donation to stop this shit, okay? 150 out of 550 towns.
That's crazy.
Scott, share your story with us.
Well, as you asked, you mentioned about my wife's plate. That was actually last year. It started around Thanksgiving of 13. She decided she wanted to apply for a firearm ID card. So first, you know, we went and got the application, and with the application, she had to submit it's a doctor's note. They didn't ask for the doctor's note specifically. The way she answered one of the questions, I'm not going to get into specific because she'll shoot me in my sleep.
You don't need that.
I don't need that. It required that she elaborate on something, and she needed to get clearance from a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor gave her a script with a note written on it. I mean, if you can, a script, you can buy drugs with it. I mean, it should be good for anything.
It's the first piece of paper you grab.
Yeah. So we submitted that with the application. They told her she had to go get her fingerprints done. So she did that. We wait. 4 months.
4 months?
4 months, I say.
4 months?
4 months. I told her. I said, call him. I said, Speedy, I can't do this for you. You got to do it yourself. So she calls the town. Town says, oh, we don't have your fingerprints. So we're like,
they're electronic.
Yeah, they're electronic, right? So she goes, we don't have your fingerprints. So what she does is she's got to scramble now to try to find the receipt that she got with the number on it, so she can go back and they can trace it. So meanwhile, I had contacted Alexander over at the NJRPC.
Alexander Rubion.
Yeah. And he's told me he actually contacted them. And meanwhile, she submitted the documentation for her fingerprints. And he came back. He didn't think it was anything malicious, but I have a history with Parsippany, so I'm a little dubious.
Yeah.
So we wait, and we wait, and we wait. Some more months go by. I have to contact them. This is getting to be too much. She contacts them. They're like, oh, we're not accepting the doctor's note on script.
What did they want it on?
They wanted it on a doctor's letterhead.
That's ridiculous. They get to pick how he responds to?
You know, I mean, my wife could have easily gone and just stole a piece of letterhead off of the desk.
Right.
And then herself, you know. I mean, so the script is official. I mean, you could buy drugs with it. It should be good enough for this.
Typically, it's whatever the doctor has handy.
Yeah.
You got to have to go through this stuff all the time. And especially, you know, to have somebody dictate a letter, you know, have him dictate a letter is very difficult.
So I contacted Alexander again. I think he might have said something to them. Next thing you know, she's getting a call from Parsippany. They're going to handle it. They don't want her to. Mm. They're not asking for a letterhead anymore. So I really got to give him kudos and thanks for
You see, we talk about getting together all the time. We talk about the strength and power in numbers. And we've been pushed around. And I don't think...
It's never ended.
No.
It's never ended. But do you think most of this problem, the problems that happen, are as a result of malice or that just a result of ignorance?
Usually it's just ignorance, but then also the police mentality, they don't want to be questioned. Yes, yeah. Scott, I'll agree. It is both. They don't like to be questioned. Who are you to question me? Because they deal with shitbirds all the time.
Right, and they treat everybody as a shitbird.
And then when a law-abiding citizen comes in, they're conditioned. Yes.
My wife is like Mother Teresa.
Yeah. I mean, I've met her numerous times.
She's an advocate for the elderly. She used to do volunteer work with visiting nurse services. She used to go to the elderly's houses, clean their homes, just sit with them to say, hello, how are you? Let me help feed you, you know?
Yeah.
This is my wife.
Yeah.
And they're basically relegating her to a felon because she wanted a firearm ID card. It really irked
the
hell out
of me. But like Ant says, they're used to dealing with shittums all day long. So you see it here even with the cops. It's kind of funny. A lot of times it takes him a long time to break the cops of interrogating people who are customers.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
sit down. We'll be with you in a moment. Man. No. It doesn't work like that.
It took my wife 9 months to get her firearm ID card. I joke. I say she
nine
gave...
9 months.
She gave... It was a full-term pregnancy.
She gave birth.
She gave birth to a bouncing baby Glock.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane.
You know, and a couple of years prior to that, I had a situation with them where I put in an application for my permit, and she says, the one behind the glass, this will take 5 to 6 months.
5 to 6 months?
That's exactly what I said to her. And she looks at me, and I said, you know, technically you have 30 days.
Yeah.
She says, no, that's not a law. That's just a suggestion. It's a policy we don't have to follow.
That is a law.
I know it's a law. But I remember hearing something from your show once that you guys are like, you know, don't argue with them. That's not going to get you anywhere.
No, it is absolutely not.
So I just looked at her. I just, and I turned around and I walked away. And I remember I'm sending an email to Ant here. He actually, I think he mentioned it on the show once. I was just so pissed that she said that.
Yeah.
What, she thinks I'm stupid?
Well, I don't think it's that, Scott. I think it's the fact that she's stupid. You know, and it's not this whole nonsense. It is all hearsay. It goes back and forth. You're dealing with a clerk or you're dealing with a cop. It's a government employee.
Correct. But that's why strike force is so important.
Absolutely.
Because now,
the
way it works, Scott was here, Scott Bach, was once they're notified, if they don't do anything, now they face criminal.
Yeah, you have been notified.
Okay?
You've been put on notice.
Why, correct. Mm. Now this is what we need. You know, it's funny. How long have you lived in Parsippany?
I moved up here in 2002. Okay.
Was Michael Peckerman the chief when you moved in?
I don't know.
Yeah, he was.
I got a story for that, too, when you're done.
Well, say it now. Say it now. Go ahead.
I originally got my firearm ID in Edison. I was living there at the time.
Gotcha.
I got engaged to my wife, who lived at Mount Tabor. So we moved in together, and I decided I'm going to apply for a new ID card with a change of address. So several months goes by, and I finally contact them, and I asked about it, and they're like, well, we got a problem. Apparently, we can't issue you a new FID because you have charges of domestic violence.
Nice.
And I'm like, against who?
News to me.
He goes, your wife. I said, my wife? I'm not married yet. I've never been married. He goes, well, apparently there is a guy with your name who has charges. And I said, I want to know who was against. So he goes, well, I don't have that information in front of me. I'll have to get back with you. A few days later, he contacts me. He goes, well, Mr. Crosby, apologize.
You better apologize.
Scott, this happened to me when I went to buy a gun. I came up pending. And I was like, okay, what's going on? So usually I get approved like immediately through the NICS system. This happened quite some time ago. And then found out that I also had a domestic violence against me from 1958. And I was born in 61.
Wow. That's good. And how'd you do that?
I want to talk about it when we come back.
That's pretty good. I like that.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. In New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We use marble and corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Broadcasting truth from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain. You're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
Freedom. Oh, for the people. Freedom to the people.
This segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.com. Check out Waldorf Chiropractic if you or someone you know is within a 30-mile radius of Bridgewater, New Jersey. I think you should check him out. He's Pro 2A. He's an NRA instructor. He's a huge supporter of all things 2A, and he is a chiropractor extraordinaire. He will even help you with your shooting and stabilize your shooting foundation. So if you get a chance, WaldorfChiropractic.com, or check out Waldorf Chiropractic on Facebook. He also wrote a book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You. So let me tell you what happened to me. So when this happened, it came back that I had a domestic abuse charge for 3 years before I was born. I didn't know it when I came up pending. I got approved like 4 hours later. So at the time, the dealer says to me, you should contact the state police and find out why you came up pending. So the next day at 10 o'clock in the morning, I called the state police firearms investigation unit. And I got a hold of a sergeant, and I explained to him what happened. And luckily, I had the right sergeant. You know, this is about 8-9 years ago, so I'm sure he's not in that division or he promoted or whatever. I told him what happened. He goes, well, let me look it up because they have a copy. He goes, oh, yeah, you came up pending with another Anthony Calandra, with an A at the end, from Staten Island. It happened in 1958, was an open domestic case. He goes, I'll fix it now.
Oh.
And he fixed it, so I waited like 2 months later. I bought another gun and I got approved instantly, and I've never come up pending again. So if you ever come up pending where you've never come up pending before, follow up with it the next day with the State Police Firearms Investigation Unit, okay? Because the NICS people can't tell you. When you call,
they
just
not
get a,
know, or they?
They don't get all that detail. They just get a yay or a nay, a hold, a pending, or send someone to lock them up or whatever
the case
is.
Yeah, right.
So because they're clerical people. All right, you want to talk to the person. He asked me my SBI number. He asked me a couple other security questions before he divulged the information on why I came up pending. And he said, I'll fix that for you. So he fixed it so it wouldn't pop up on my screen anymore or whatever, however the system, back end of the system works. So that's a beautiful thing. What I was going to say before is Michael Peckerman now lives in Colorado. He was the police chief Parsippany for quite a few years. As pro-gun as you can get, I met him at every NRA dinner. We sat at the same tables. Permits used to come out in 2 weeks out of Parsippany.
Really?
And since he left, I think they're on their second or third chief, and it's only gotten progressively worse. By the way, Parsippany is one of the 150 towns.
I bet it is.
No, yeah, it is. It is. I know. I checked it out before you came on the show. So, but this is, you know, remember we had Victor Pilato on talking about Passaic?
Yeah, right.
So we got you. You're sitting here. You seem to be dressed pretty nice, like you have gainful employment and everything. So,
my employer might say otherwise. But yeah.
So what I'm trying to get at is that you and your wife are law-abiding, tax-paying citizens, and you got raped through the coals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel about that? How frustrated do you get?
Oh, it makes me want to scream. Absolutely.
So where we stand now? All your permits are in? Everything is good or no?
Actually, I went on Friday because I wanted to put in another permit. And the guy gave me – well, actually, it was the clerk behind the window. She gave me a yellow form 212A, and I went home not thinking. Later on that night, I'm thinking, oh, man. I remember from hearing from the show that they're no longer accepting the yellow 212A.
Correct. They're going electronic right now.
So I actually went to download the rest of the forms, and I found the state police instructions, and I read them, and in big, bold letters, we will no longer accept yellow form 212A. You must apply through the state
through the portal.
Through the state portal.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, okay. So I called Parsippany on Monday, and I spoke to the police officer, and he tells me, he goes, no, you're mistaken. I processed several of these things already with the hard copy yellow, and I had no problem. He goes, to tell you what, though, he took down my name, my number. He said, I'll check into it, and I'll get back to you. I honestly thought he was going to blow me off. And I never expected to hear back from him. So I then contacted the state police, and I called the number that was in the state police instructions and tell the extension there, and it took me to CIU, the Criminal Investigation Unit. And I'm like, okay. I started talking to the woman. She goes, oh, no, you have the wrong department. I'll send you to firearms. So she sends me to firearms, and I'm speaking with another woman there. And she says, oh, no, we no longer accept the hard copy yellow 212A.
The major runaround.
Right, exactly.
So no malicious intent with the police officer. Right. Just the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
It gets better. So I asked her, I told the police officer Parsippany this, and he insisted that he submitted a number of them with 212A. And then there's silence, and then she says, well, we are accepting the 212A. And I'm like, what? And she goes, but we're going to stop very soon. There's a drop dead date. I don't know what it is. That's what she says.
So they're printing up the 212. They're printing up the website, and they're saying on the website, they're trying to get everybody in compliance. A lot of stuff like this does happen when they're switching over from, this is a government bureaucracy. And it's the worst cluster F you've ever seen in your life when you try to make a change in any kind of form, because their own people don't know that the change is happening.
But the change is effective April of 2014.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's a year later.
It's a year later. And a year in government, you know, in government time, it's like dog years. It's so ridiculous. You know, speaking as a former federal government employee, things move at glacial speed.
Yeah.
So what's normal and logical in the real world, if you were to operate that way in any other business, you'd be broke. You'd be the guy sitting out at the subway terminal with his tin cup full of pencils.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's about the only way. You go from government status to that, or politics. You could run for.
So no. She asked me.
Go ahead.
She asked me. She goes, "Would you like me to transfer you back to CIU?" I'm like,
right
why,
back to where you
why
went
would
back.
I want to go there when they sent me up here to you?
Yeah,
I said, "I'll just submit the hard copy 212A and hold my breath." So,
did you hear anything? How long ago was that?
This was Monday. It was past Monday.
Oh, it was Monday. So you
and
don't
then,
know.
Well, no, then the patrolman at Parsippany contacted me, and I got to give the guy credit. Right. I mean, I really didn't expect that he would. So, like, thank you if you're listening. And he said, Mr. Cross, we have a letter here from the state police. It gives a drop dead date. I think he said it was March 1st, but that's a Sunday, so it may be March 2nd. But he said it's a drop dead date, and after that we can no longer accept the 212 yellows.
Yeah, but why are they even bothering with the 212 yellows to continue? They know this, and they're still handing it out.
Yes.
Why do they have a stock of them?
Well, yeah,
they pay for
the
shit.
The way we've always done it.
Yeah.
It's the way we've always done it. Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right.
I mean, the reason I call them because on the I need an ORI number in order to use the portal.
You need their number.
Yeah, their number.
But
yeah.
You're not supposed to know that number.
But yeah,
right.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're supposed to use that.
Yeah,
so
how am I supposed to do that?
Only a little bit of a glitch there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you need the number to submit it, but you can't know the number because only they're supposed to know that.
You know, and it's worse in other towns. You get a guy like Vic, he goes to, you know, Passaic. It's only one day a week for 2 hours. You have to take off from work.
Right.
And if you go, if the officer's on overtime in court or took the day off, you have to go back the next week. And you're not allowed to call. And this is all the shit that we're going to start addressing now, you know. And we've had some good court rulings. You know, Knappen had the McGovern case in Jersey City. Knappen had the Jeremy Perez case in Patterson. And this is all case law that we have now with Strike Force where we're going to be whacking a lot of pee-pees. And I want people, you know, strikeforce@anjrpc.org. I want people to send their stories in because we're still compiling more data. You know, if that 150 towns grows to 170, you know, that's good. And I'll tell you what, the other 300 towns are going to be watching this. And, you know, there's definitely a few of these are going to go to the courts, without a doubt. A few towns, I would imagine like Jersey City or something, is going to dig their heels in and say, we're not doing what you tell us to do.
Right.
And they're going to lose.
No, definitely.
They're going to lose. Bach doesn't do anything half-assed, that's for sure.
No, well, that's why it's taken such a while to get this in place.
Well, they wanted the data, and he wanted it done right.
Yes.
You know, you want to talk about half-assed, the SAFE Act in New York City. A retired cop had all of his guns confiscated after checking himself into a hospital to be treated for insomnia.
Insomnia. He couldn't sleep.
They took his firearms?
Yeah, they took, well, they confiscated those firearms, and they won't give them back to him.
And they labeled him, they said he was a mental health thing because they prescribed the medication. Now, here's the problem. Remember a few years ago, Ant, we talked about this fact that certain medications are listed as being used to treat depression. Okay.
Yes.
And any type of MAO inhibitor or things like Lexapro or things that are normally used to treat other medical conditions are being considered psychotropic medications. So if you're on a psychotropic medication, they did this on a federal level to be able to curtail how many people could actually buy guns. It's a backdoor gun ban that very few people are aware of until they're aware of it. So you could be getting a medication, Dilantin, and what they're using is they're using these particular medications now to control who has access to firearms. So you could have a kid that is on Dilantin in your home and have your firearms removed from your home because the kid can't be around firearms.
Really?
Yep. Coming back.
Everything I do gonna be funky from now on.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
This segment is brought to you by PhillyGunTraining.com, PhillyGunTraining.com. Check out Jose Morales down at in Philly. Where? Garden Center?
It's on Spring Garden, right across the way from the police department.
Scott knows, a listener. So Spring Garden. I should write that on the intro
thing. You should
thing.
Somewhere.
If you're in the Philly area, Philly proper area, and you need training, you need help with your paperwork.
Especially in the Spring Garden neighborhood.
Yes, and if you want to go to the range, Jose is the man, PhillyGunTraining.com. I just want to apologize. I had to step out of the studio for the last segment. I had to talk to legal counsel. My first battle starts this Monday the 12th, and again, I can't divulge any info, but if everybody could just cross fingers and toes for me a little bit. I got a couple of huge battles coming up. I'm hoping to put everything to rest in 2015. And then we'll have Knappen, Bach, Donahue, Hagen, Klein, Weisberg, Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner, and Smith, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, and everybody else that's on my payroll come in and talk about what's going on. That's all I can say for now. Okay. I got a few letters I want to read. The first one is really cool. It's by Christopher Kent. And he wrote, "Aunt, a quick note to let you know how much Winston's presence on Gun for Hire Radio is appreciated. It was also cool to see him hanging out in the retail area at the range. No matter how good something is, bringing a dog in can only make it better."
He gets a lot of fan mail, Winston.
That is so cool. And this is cool. Winston's not in here right now because he's feeling my stress levels. And he's kind of stressed out, so he's in my office right now.
I know. We miss him, too.
Yeah. Chris Kent put a quote, "As Groucho Marx once noted, outside of a dog, a book is a man's best friend. Inside of a dog, it's too dark to read."
Yeah, he's great.
that's a really good one. I just want to say that's really good. And thank you very much for your thoughts and everything else. I got another couple of letters here. Ask Jimmy will be coming up probably next week's show, by the way.
Yep.
Josh Levy also wrote an article for JewishWeek.com, The New York, about the dark times with gun control and how we should have more access to guns to protect ourselves.
Well, we were talking about that in the first segment. I mean, with the anti-Semitism is you know, it has been around for a long time, and now the anti-Semitism is starting to rear its head. I am fearful of what a lot of the parallels that you're seeing now that you saw before World War I and World War II. And it's the same sentiments. It's all about those people who are causing the problem. When anybody says, points their finger and says, it's those people who are a problem, you should really back away from them. It's policies and politics that create problems, not individual people. And right now, you're starting to see a huge anti-Semitic vibe all throughout Europe, and it's starting here in the States.
Now, I was going to talk more about Josh's article. He mentions Gun for Hire because he comes here to shoot, and the link is broke. I checked and I Google searched it and everything, and Safari, Chrome, we can't get it, which is okay because Josh is planning on being on the show in a week or two.
Okay.
And we're going to discuss the article in depth, but here's another letter from... who's this? Oh, Matt in New York. "I would like to ask if you guys can increase your volume when recording the show."
Please. Yeah, we saw that. Our tech guys saw that. The problem, Matt, is the fact that, you know, the show's done for broadcast radio. And then it has to be dumbed down for the podcast.
Just fix it.
Rebroadcast. It can't be. It's peaked out. It's already maxed out.
Can we send him a miracle ear?
We could. Yeah, we could.
I never had a problem with the volume.
Yeah, it's certain times on certain devices, and it's all about the device. That's the problem a little bit with new media because of the fact that new media is so new.
Yeah, he wrote, thanks for your time and keep up the great work, Matt New Yuck, Y-U-C-K. we just got an email from David Aguirre, who talks about Piers Morgan was on an interview with the Opie and Jim show, formerly Opie and Anthony, on 1-8-15, and they asked him questions about his gun agenda now that he left CNN, that he focused strictly on that. They talked about Sandy Hook and the movie theater shooting and how he feels the NRA leadership has a bad agenda with just wanting to sell guns, but the members of the NRA felt he had good intentions. He then talked about the Scotland school shooting that happened in the 80s. That was the big one, by the way, led to the banning of all handguns and assault rifles. Yeah. That was passed in 18 months in Great Britain. He also talked about how by doing that, the number of firearm-related homicides were next to nothing while the U.S. refuses to change any gun laws. It is bullshit. It's a lie. I wish I could remember the exact numbers he had, but I can't. They were made up anyway. But here's Dave's question. How can responsible gun owners like ourselves combat these types of arguments being made in regard to those statistics? Well, those statistics are definitely skewed.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Violent crime is on the rise
kind.
In the UK.
Yes. Yeah. So does it matter very much if you were beaten to death with a cricket bat or shot to death? It doesn't.
No.
Violent crime is on the rise. Violent crime is very high. And the people who are getting... who are becoming the victims are helpless victims and they're victimized over and over and
correct.
Over and
mm-hmm.
over again because they've lost their ability to protect themselves, period. Peers. Not everybody's got a set of bodyguards like you.
Yeah, well, they would be unarmed bodyguards when he's back in
pretty
the
much,
UK,
yeah,
but he's
right,
not allowed there anyway.
No, he's really not.
That's another story. But Dave, here's another question you can ask people. If we pressed a button today and every gun in the world disappeared, would crime disappear? Would acts of passion disappear? Would crazy people
right.
stop doing stuff, or they would
human
switch to cars and gasoline?
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Or rocks and sticks, like it was in the beginning.
It's not the tool; it's the person behind
correct.
It. Okay. Again, Scott, go ahead. You want to chime
no,
in,
say,
please?
You know, knives, you know.
They banned
rocks,
all knives
bottles,
in the UK
yeah,
because
right.
of it.
Yes, exactly.
They banned glass pint glasses. They have to be plastic
really?
Now.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Man, get
yeah,
out
they're plastic in the pubs. We've talked about it before. Yes.
Last year, remember, we reported the guy who was arrested and jailed because he took a nail clipper out and a woman got a bobby and sent the bobby in and they were arrested because of he was charged with menacing because he had a nail clipper out with that little nail file on it. And that was considered a weapon.
Coming to America.
Let me tell you something. It is coming to America.
It is
they're trying.
To it's here.
Meanwhile, you're
going to
get backlash like in France now. Why didn't anybody have a gun?
Right.
You know,
right.
why weren't there armed guards at the door? I mean, if I drew a picture of Muhammad, you know you're definitely on a list. You're on a hit list.
Right.
Okay, and they're going to send some radical people after you, and they're going to get you eventually.
Especially if you draw Muhammad.
They didn't get
Muhammad.
They never got Salman Rushdie, though, right? He's still in hiding, right? Satanic
Verses. Yeah, they never
he's
found
still
him.
Alive. Yeah, for you youngsters out there, just Google Satanic Verses.
Yeah.
He wrote a book criticizing the Islamic religion, and they put an infada on him, right? Which
is a
death warrant.
It was a death warrant, yeah.
He's been in hiding since like 88 or something.
Yeah,
like
he's been in hiding a good 30, 40 years.
It's been quite a while.
Well, he's married to that.
I think he's 107
pretty,
now.
He's married to that real pretty Indian woman who was on the Top Chef show
for
a while.
Right, yeah,
they're divorced
right,
now, but yeah. So,
why did he divorce her? She was cute.
She divorced him.
Oh, I
you
see.
You know how that works. But she got famous off of his book sales and then traded him in for a different
for a newer
model or
yeah. There's
like
a younger
that.
Model that
there's always that
had
going around.
Wood in the pencil.
Somewhere.
Lead in the pencil.
You know, but you think about it, Scott, in the UK, you can't have glass pint glasses. You can't have pointy knives. Any edge weapons have to have blunt points on them.
Right.
They still have amnesty programs where you drop them off in boxes in a corner. But violent crime is still there. Murder rate is still up. Yes, gun crime is down because they can't have access to guns as much.
Right.
But if you want to get a gun, you will.
Right.
And they will.
And they do.
You can't make
and
them
bad
all disappear.
Guys will get them. As, you know, as evidenced in Paris just this today, actually. This is today's Friday that we're broadcasting. But as evidenced today, when you have that kind of cachet with whatever underground you're going to get it, and the underground sales are very high in Britain.
Sure. You can get a gun. Yeah. You can get, there's so many Eastern Bloc countries that, that smuggle them through and sell them.
Sure.
And they're all knockoffs of, you know, of guns AKs from AK-47s and the Bursas and stuff like that. They're just total knockoffs, Chinese and Russian stuff. They, they're a dime a dozen. Anybody can get a gun.
A lot cheaper than we can here in the U.S.
Correct.
Because we actually have to go through the normal. We could go right down to Newark right
I wanna,
now.
I have a Cuba fact to share with you when we come back.
A Cuba fact. That's very nice.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
So a buddy of mine is of Cuban descent, and he has six relatives on a visa visiting him right now because their mother is sick. So there's extended family came to visit. They got a visa, and they came to visit, and the first thing they want to do is walk around a supermarket because they can't believe what
right,
we have.
He's still driving 1956 Chevy DeSotos.
And he was telling me that in Cuba, if you commit a murder, you do 8 years in prison. So it's very similar to like New Jersey, because New Jersey gets sentenced 15 years, but the average murderer gets 8 years because they knock one day off for every good day, if that. Now, in Cuba, if you get caught carrying a piece of beef or any part of a cow, it's 20 years in prison.
Was that assault with a bovine weapon?
Because only the tourists.
He's here all week.
Only the tourists and the higher level people are allowed to have beef.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. Meat is almost impossible to find. So if somebody was to kill a cow and butcher it up and sell it, you would get 20 years in prison.
20 years
if you
prison
were to
for
buy,
8 years for murder. So
if you buy a pound of chopped meat, you'd get 20 years in prison.
Wow. So Jeffrey Dahmer, if he was still alive, would have done very well.
Yeah, because he has human.
Human, yeah.
Human, long pork.
Got a call thigh, yeah.
That's called long pork.
That's what the Indians used to call it, yeah.
Long pork. See, he knows. He's edumacated. I wanted to talk a little bit. Craig Zilowski sent an extensive email, and he's a huge two-way supporter, and I stole unity and activism is key from him. And I didn't, in fact, steal it because I give him credit every time I say it. But he's a great guy, strong supporter of Gunfire Radio, and he chimed in on the woman in Walmart that was killed by her 2 or 3 year old who took her gun out of her purse off body carry. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about on body carry.
Too. Mm-hmm.
The first police officer that was being buried that was executed in New York by the scum, when all the cops went there, a Bergen County sheriff's officer, his gun discharged at the officer's wake.
I think this was in New Jersey, wasn't it?
You sure? I'm going to try to open it up right now.
I think it was in New Jersey where it was a young cop who was killed by an SUV.
I'm sorry. That's right. It was the Ridgewood or Cliffside Park cop. You're
Cliffside
right.
Park
oh, my
cop.
God.
Yeah.
I know his cousin.
Okay. So the gun discharged at the
Essex
funeral.
County Sheriff's Office.
Now, the guy is wearing, Bergen County.
Bergen County.
The guy is wearing his gun, he's wearing his uniform, wearing a holster and everything. Who the hell knows what happened? Yeah. Repositioning his on his body or his holster or whatever. I could just imagine during a wake, and, you know, God. He left after that, and who knows what he's going to be facing for it. But, you know, so on-body carry, off-body carry, you have a major commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You're not carrying a buck knife in your pocket or a little shrade knife. You have a gun. You have to. You're responsible for where you leave it. You're responsible for who it comes in contact with it, including yourself.
Yes.
The first time I carried, when I would non-resident carry, it's scary.
It is scary.
Okay, it's scary. Have you carried out of state?
No.
Okay, it's scary carrying a gun out.
Yeah.
Until you get used to it.
Not long after I got my
You're self-conscious.
They banned it in PA.
Yeah, it's going to come back. We're going to report on that next week, by the way.
I agree, Ant. You're conscious of that firearm all the time. You're self-conscious. You think that it's almost like the mark of Cain. You think everybody knows you have it.
And exactly. You think everybody can see it on you.
Yeah.
You get real paranoid when you're carrying a gun. You get real cautious and real careful when you're carrying a gun.
You sit
differently. You don't let your guard down.
Yeah, you watch your guard down. You're sitting. You sit close to the wall.
You're definitely not drinking.
No.
You know.
Maybe someday in Jersey.
It's coming. It's coming. So Greg
drinking
Zilofsky,
and shooting? Or?
Here are some thoughts I have on improving CCW safety methods. I would like to bring up a very important topic worth sharing. Since CCW and open carry are a popular topic and concern, I would like to share some thoughts in regards to the recent accident where a two-year-old child discharged a firearm that was in her mother's purse. First, he wrote prayers and condolences to the family. Two, it was an accident. Unfortunately, accidents do happen with or without firearms every day.
Exactly right.
Obviously, we have to remember, we're just discussing this, safety is always a priority. But, you know, something he wants to talk about that's brought to people's attention that is not taught to the average firearm owner and those who carry opened or concealed. There is a difference of necessary preparedness and sense of urgency between on-duty law enforcement officer engaged in a call of action and a recreational shooter, hunter, hiker, camper, or parent shopping in a store far away from the city who wants to protect their children. A very real possibility and unpredictable chance they may encounter a misguided person with bad intentions who would attempt to abduct or harm their children. So we always talk about the second commandment of gun safety. Never let a loaded gun out of your sight or out of your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's why I don't like off-body carry. He wrote, that said, I think it's a good idea anyone who carry concealed in a specifically designed handbag instead of a holster attached directly to their body should seriously consider carrying with an empty chamber but load a magazine ready for emergencies and an added safety precaution. That's up for debate. Everybody has their own rules of thumbs. I normally wouldn't teach that, but I'm not normally an advocate of off-body carry.
Yeah.
He wrote, let common sense rule when you carry a loaded gun. If you're in a situation that could risk accidental discharge, such as crossing a fence, wading through a stream, or climbing a tree, always unload your gun. Never pull or push a loaded firearm towards yourself or another person, and never carry a loaded gun in a scabbard, detached holster, or a gun case. He gets that from hunting. He's a big-time hunter.
Yeah.
He wrote, CCW handbags needed to be added to that list in his own opinion. It doesn't take all that long to rack a cartridge into a chamber. I sincerely think this added step could have helped save a life. Maybe, because the 2-year-old, he wouldn't have been able to rack the chamber.
Correct.
No,
he wouldn't be able to rack the slide. These are my own personal thoughts and feeling. Please take time to agree or disagree. I agree and I disagree, Craig, but I love you. He wrote, we need to work together to find the safest method and resolution. And then he wrote, best regards, Greg Zilowski Sr., unity and activism is key. And I agree with him, and he's a huge 2A advocate. So, Scott, you and your wife, when you're going to carry out of state, you know, you got to learn. Do you have kids?
No.
Okay, so that's one less facet issue, that you have to worry about, one less issue that needs to be addressed. But you still have to worry about, we always talk about leaving it in the bathroom, leaving it in a hotel room, having it fall out of your pocket, have it pop out of your holster or whatever. And you and your wife, if you both make the decision to carry, you have to adapt that Mr. and Mrs. Smith mentality where you're going to cover for each other.
Right.
You know, you might hold her purse while she goes into the restroom, but you're standing vigilantly outside that restroom.
Right.
You know, and then you give her purse back when she comes out, and then you go in the restroom. What did Clint Smith say? Owning a gun shouldn't be comfortable. It should be comforting.
Didn't you offer classes? You used to call it Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
We have Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I mentioned that to my wife. I said, I thought it was a good idea if we went through. I actually bought her a holster for Christmas.
Nice. So, great holster. That's a great gift.
Great gift.
A Black Hawk. Yeah.
Go ahead. What were you saying? That's it? That's all you had to add? But no. Yes, but the husband and wife.
Sorry to let you down.
No, husband and wife need to have a plan. You can't just put a gun on and she puts a gun on, or you only you put a gun on. You guys have to talk and say, all right, honey, if something happens, this is what you need to do.
Right.
Like we talk about all the time, if you're the only one with a gun and someone approaches, if you draw that gun, she should get behind you
and grab your
face away from you and grab your belt. So you're looking away from each other and you're covering 360 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right. Hold your belt and she could be calling 911 at that time. All right? I know it sounds funny, but that's where you don't want her at your side.
No,
you don't want her where somebody
can
grab
her. She is.
Exactly. Correct. You don't want to shoot her accidentally.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
They do the same thing with motorcycles. If you take a rider safety course, they have a two-up rider safety course that you go back with your significant other and you learn how to ride with the two of you, pushing and pulling and leaning in the separate same directions or whatever. So training is important in anything that we do, but communication. If you're driving to Florida with your wife, Scott, you should be running scenarios through your head. Hun, this is what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. But here's the problem. A lot of times the spouse isn't on board and they roll their eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so paranoid. This is never going to happen. That's never going to happen. You're such a jackass. Blah, 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 blah. But you know what? Keep repeating it anyway, because if it happens, maybe she'll fall back into it and bam, she'll be there for you.
We have scenarios at home in case something should happen, like a home invasion. This is what we're going to do.
Beautiful. I keep
firearms hidden in certain locations.
Too many times the alpha male assumes all of the roles and responsibilities, but you're not there all the time.
Okay.
B, what if you could take the garbage out and get in the head and hit in the head and somebody rushes in the house?
Exactly.
And your wife doesn't even know the code of the safe.
Right.
All right? We talk about that all the time. So, and I talk about all the time about having the safe with the code and having a prescription or something you take every day. So you open that safe 365 times a year to get it out. So it's burned into your memory. So you're using, you know, just your second nature. You're opening it up, because when your fight or flight reflexes kick in, you'll never open that up.
You know, you mentioned on several of your shows about the touch keys.
The rubber buttons, the gun guard.
The ones that automatically sense your thumb.
Oh, biometric.
Biometric. That sucks.
Right?
Terrible.
Tried it?
Yeah, I have one. It worked for a little bit, and then it stopped working. One day I needed to just get the gun out,
they're not ready.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work. I had to get the key.
Yeah, and imagine if it, like Masoud Ayoub talks about all the time, if you've been wounded and you've got blood all over your hands.
Or sweaty. Or you cut your finger today.
Yeah.
And you have a Band-Aid on. Then you remember after two tries to pull the Band-Aid off, but the scar prevents it from reading.
Yeah. Right.
I have an iPhone. It doesn't read my fingerprint all the time. If I come out of the shower, it doesn't read the fingerprint.
Right. Because it's an entirely different.
It swells up a little bit or whatever. So what if you just stepped out of the shower and
your
hands are wet and puffy and you go to open it? No, they're not ready yet.
Right.
They're not ready. So you want the four rubber buttons like gun guard and gun vault on top, and you want to practice every day opening it up and closing it. And the only thing you should store in there is your gun, two magazines, flashlight, and whatever prescription or vitamins you're taking or aspirin you're taking every day on a daily basis.
You know, we've been doing that for years now since he suggested that to me. It's got to be about 4 years now in my home. And it's the last thing we do in the morning, last thing we do at night, first thing we do in the morning. And we're doing it now also in the dark. Because usually when shit hits the fan, it usually hits the fan.
It ain't light out.
Yeah. It ain't light out.
Guys, listen up. You're losing your opportunity Friday, February 13th. Evan Knappen will be here. He might even be able to discuss one of my cases, by the way.
Nice.
But at Knappen's Gun Law Seminar, Friday, February 13th, you really should come and check it out. Masoud Ayoub will be here May 528, May 30, all the way to 6-2 with his Mag 20 and Mag 40 shooting and classroom. The judicious use of deadly force. You got to check it out. Build-A-Bear with Jimmy anytime, any place. Check out our full lineup of test drives starting in February. A carry test drive, classic test drive, belt feed test drive, carbine test drive, big rig test drive, and a shotgun test drive. Before you're going to buy a gun, come and sample them all. Then our clinics, new self-defense clinic, force on force, holster draw, shooting on the move, tactical vehicle ops, barricade shooting, one-hand shooting, reloading February 11th, Tactical Steel, February 17th. Come on down and check it out. Visit the FU Bloomberg Lounge. Say hi to Scott and his wife when they come in the cafe and try some of our Patriots pork roll, which is kicking ass, by the way. It's been packed every weekend and during the week. What did you have?
I had the traditional.
The traditional?
Number two.
Pork roll, egg and cheese?
Awesome.
Was that awesome? How about the tater tots?
Yes, very good.
Corn relish?
I didn't eat the corn relish.
Now I'm hungry.
Okay. You enjoyed it, though?
Yes, I did. Very much.
Very good. Thank you all. Thank you, Scott.
All right.
Well, we've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gunfire Hour Radio. Gunfire Hour Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC in New York, New York, and their licensed broadcast music incorporated. I'm Sandy Barardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, Scott, our listener, and the rest of the crew here at Gunfire Hour Radio, Jose Sucks, we do thank you so much for listening. Be safe out there, guys. We're going to see you next week. And look at this. Here comes Winston. So say goodbye, Winston.
From sea to the shine.